I'm going to read an account from the Gospel of Mark, and this is Jesus in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And I would ask you to think a bit about the questions he raises, and also the question the disciples raise, and to think a bit about your own life, and have you ever been in that boat in the midst of a storm with Jesus and his disciples? Have you been in there at some point in your life? Okay. Here we are. In that day, when evening had come, it's dark, can't see. When the evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them into the boat, just as he was. The other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care? Don't you care that we're perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our text this morning is about a storm that arose without warning on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a huge lake, a very large lake that's crescent-shaped, and between two hills or two mountains. And because of its location and everything, storms can come up very unexpectedly, high winds very unexpectedly. One evening, as it was getting dark, Jesus and his disciples are in a boat on the Sea of Galilee when all of a sudden a storm comes up, one that hadn't been anticipated, one that hadn't been foreseen. Just out of nowhere, there's this tearing wind against their ship and this pelting, cold, bone-chilling rain coming down. And the ship itself is awash. The waves are getting in. And these are seamen. Remember, a lot of these disciples were fishermen. But at this point, in the darkness and in the storm, they're unable to cope. And they ask Jesus, you know, who's asleep in the back of the boat. They say to Jesus, "Don't you care? Don't you care if we perish?" And he awakes and he says to the storm, you know, "Peace, be still." And there's a calm that comes to everything. And Jesus then asked two questions of his disciples. "Why are you afraid? And have you still no faith?" What are we to make of this? Jesus, you know, in the Gospels asks a lot of questions. We're looking at some of them this month. I think there are over 300 questions he asks in the Gospels. And an interesting thing is just to go through the Gospels and take note of those questions that he asks and also questions people ask him. It's one way of reading the text. But here this morning we have those questions. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? What does this say to us? I think one thing it says is that we're all in the same boat. Isn't that right? We're all in the same boat. Now, Rembrandt has a very famous painting of this scene. We tried to reproduce it for the bulletin, but couldn't quite make it today. But there's a famous painting. It was stolen from the Gardner Museum in Boston, I think back in the 90s. And to my knowledge, it hasn't been recovered yet. Does anybody know if it's been found? It's disappeared. But in this painting, it's interesting. Rembrandt, about 1600 or so, paints the boat caught in this huge storm, big waves coming up, swamping the boat, the disciples hanging on for dear life, the mast, of course, represents the cross. And what's interesting in his painting is that how many people do you think are in the boat? Jesus and his disciples. How many should there be? 13. How many has he got? 14. And people looking at the characters in the painting say, hey, there's one guy who looks sort of seasick and is hanging on, and he looks an awful lot like Rembrandt himself. And that's the way I think a lot of art historians have taken the painting. That's Rembrandt. And what I think he's saying is, hey, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? Why are you afraid? Asked Jesus. Why are you afraid? And fear, I think, is a real part of our life. Recent studies, I think, show how insecure Americans are, how insecure people are in Britain. You know, the news people know our fears and they play to them. You know, what's the saying? If it bleeds, it leads. And we're afraid. We're afraid that as we grow older, we might get Alzheimer's, lose our memory. We're afraid that we might be lonely, left alone. We might not have enough money to see our kids through school. We're worried about the kind of world our kids will grow up into. There's an old classic Peanuts cartoon where someone asked Charlie Brown, you know, Charlie, I really admire you. You're great. You're the calmest person I know. And Charlie Brown says, of all the calm people I know, I'm a nervous wreck. And there's a story about a mother who had a little boy. And one night, there's a terrific storm with lightning and thunder and all the rest. And the little boy cries out in the night. He's afraid. And the mother goes to check on him, and he says, I'm afraid. And then he asks, will you stay in bed with me tonight? Because I'm scared. And the mother says, no, I can't. I have to go downstairs and sleep with your daddy. And the little boy says, the big sissy. We get scared. We get scared. You know, just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we can avoid all the perils and dangers of life that everyone else faces. We're all in the same boat. Okay. Why are you afraid, says Jesus so? And in the midst of the storm, the disciples know who to turn to, and they turn to Jesus. And remember what they say to him? they carry humanity's question, really, the question many of us have asked at some point in our lives when the storms come. You know, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we perish? And we, you know, I'm sure there have been times in our own lives when those words have come from our lips. Don't you care? Don't you care that, you know, I've lost the person I love and my heart's broken? Don't you care if I can't find a job? Don't you care if my son is caught in the clutches of addiction? C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian writer, when his wife died, said it seemed as if God had slammed the door in his face and double-bolted it. He found out otherwise. And I think even though we may not recognize it, there is one who stands with us. Why are you afraid? I think we're all in the same boat when it comes to the perils of life and the ups and downs and the storms of life. The great difference is that we're in the boat with Jesus, right? That makes a lot of difference. He's beside us in the storm. We are not alone. There was a New Testament scholar by the name of James Stewart, and he put our Christian outlook very nicely, I think. He said this. This is a great part of the Christian light on the problem of suffering. It does not tell us why suffering comes. It does not offer an exemption from it. It does not meet our questioning with some neat theory that will solve the mystery. This is not Christ's contribution. No. His way is much more wonderful than that. He says, when trouble comes, I will be there. I promise it. I promise it. When trouble comes, peace be still, says Jesus in the account to the storm. Peace be still. Have you heard those words at all in your own lives? Peace be still. When the storm is raging, and the rain is pelting and the lightning is there, and the darkness and you can't see, peace be still. I know in our own lives, in our own family life, my wife and I received a call from our daughter that we really didn't want to come. And it said that our grandson had been diagnosed, you know, with cerebral palsy. And through the tears, as bad as they were, we could hear those words, peace be still. And even in the midst of those tears, there was an inexplainable calm. Have you heard those words in your own life when the storm rages? Peace be still. What does Jesus ask? Why? Why do you still have no faith? It seems to me that, you know, that faith is something we work on not just in emergencies, in the foxhole when the bullets are flying. But it's something we work on in daily life. And it's something we prepare for. We build our faith for the hard times. Again, there's an old story about a farmer. And the farmer needed a helper, so he took on a new hand. And every question he asked this possibility, every time he asked this person a question, often it's not, the man would say, "I can sleep well on a windy night." And the farmer thought, well, this guy's a little slow maybe. But he hired the guy anyway. And then one night, the storms came, thunder, lightning, boom, boom, boom. The high winds. And the farmer got up and he tried to awaken his helper. The guy was fast asleep. He went out to check on his stuff. And what did he find? The barn door was secure. The hay was tied down. Every place he'd looked, he found that it was secure. It had been secured. And for the first time, he sort of understood what his helper was saying when he said, "I can sleep well on a windy night." He'd done his preparation. And I think one way we can prepare as Christians to build our faith life is to do what we're doing this morning, to take part in corporate worship, to study the scriptures, to pray, to serve. That's the way we, you know, are ready for that windy night when it comes. Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? We're not alone. Why is it you still don't have faith?" And I think one thing we can say is, okay, we're still in the boat with everybody else when the storms of life come. But we're not alone in that boat. Jesus is in there with us. He knows what we're going through. He's been there himself. And he stands with us. We are not alone. Amen.